please turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This evening, we are finishing a five-week series, Twists and Turns of Being a Disciple. Tonight, we are going to finish that series. And of course, we've been focusing on the discipleship of Peter. Now, Peter is one of those men of the Bible that we talk a lot about, you've probably heard about. And Peter's one of the 12. He's one of the 12 apostles. And we have covered some ups and downs of his ministry. And yet, what I want us to understand this evening as we're going to Acts chapter 10 is that just like Peter had good moments and bad moments, so will we. I mean, twists and turns, that's a good definition of our lives. There's going to be days where things are going great, and then there's going to be days where we think that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And what we have to remember is how no matter what we go through, God wants to keep using us. I think that is something that the Lord has reminded me as we've gone through this study. Of course, we've talked about a lot of different things in the life of Peter. We've talked about Jesus calling Peter to be a fisher of men. Peter was a professional fisherman. That's what he did for a living. And yet Jesus called him out of his comfort zone. And instead of just fishing for fish, he said, I want you to fish for men. I want you to fish for souls. And of course, we saw that Peter, one of the greatest highlights of his life was when he walked on water. And yet the Bible says the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, the moment he let his fear become greater than his faith, he went from walking on the water to sinking. Why? Because he allowed the storm to overshadow Jesus. Also, we talked about Peter denying Jesus. And yet, instead of Jesus saying, you know what, Peter, I can't use you, the Bible tells us that just like Peter denied Jesus on three different times, that Peter was restored by Jesus three different times. And even after that denial, even after that mistake, last week we talked about once Jesus ascended into heaven, the church in Jerusalem, Christianity as we know it, began to grow. And one of the leaders of Christianity was Peter, the same knucklehead who was brash and would be the first to run his mouth, the one who had fear, the one who denied Jesus. That same man was used. The Bible says, the foolishness of man, the foolishness of words are used to preach the gospel of Jesus. And Peter preached boldly, and thousands were saved. Last week, we specifically talked about how when Peter was faced with jail, when Peter was faced with even death, he did not deny the Lord. He boldly spoke. And church, what I want us to understand tonight is we see growth in the life of Peter. You and I, we will go through challenges. We will make mistakes. We will stumble. We will be our own worst enemy. And Satan will whisper in our minds, man, do you remember that mistake? Do you remember what you did? You can't be used for the kingdom of God. You can't be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what I want you to remember is just like we see the example of Peter, how Jesus used Peter in spite of his mistakes, Jesus can use you and I. The truth is, we can allow those mistakes to do one of two things, to destroy us or to grow us. Church, we need to understand that everything we go through is a part of our testimony. And we all have a testimony. A testimony is your story about your walk with Jesus. If you're saved here tonight, you have a story of salvation. And it's not just when you accepted Jesus, it's your walk with Him. If you've been saved for 30 years, you have a 30-year testimony. If you've been saved for 2 weeks, you have a 2-week testimony. No matter how long you've been saved, you have a testimony. And people around you need to know that testimony. They need to know about your relationship, your walk with the Lord. And tonight in Acts chapter 10, we are going to look at the continued story of Peter. And tonight as we finish looking at Peter, the twists and turns of his life. Now this isn't the last time we see Peter. As I said earlier, Peter was a leader in the Christian church. But in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to begin in verse 34, but the first 33 verses talks about this encounter between Peter and a man named Cornelius. Now, Cornelius, this is the first time we see him. He was an officer in the Roman army. But yet the Bible here in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, describes him as a devout man, a man who prayed to God, a man who gave to those in need. And this was a Gentile. Now, we have to understand this here. Christianity came from Judaism. Most of the Old Testament was focused on Israel, the Israelites, the Jews. And yet Jesus, who grew up as a Jew, he grew up in Judaism. From that religion, we get Christianity. And if you study Judaism and Christianity, they're different. Jesus was raised as a Jew. He was raised in the customs of the Old Testament. But yet the Bible clearly tells us that we, believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, we are not under the law as there were in the Old Testament, but we are under what Jesus did. We are not followers of Judaism. We are followers of Christianity. And yet, in Christianity, there is a difference. And what I mean by this is the early Christian followers, including Peter, they grew up in a different culture. In the Judaism culture, if there was a Gentile, you did not go to that man. Most Jews would pray every morning, Lord, do not put an unclean person in my life. Lord, do not put a Gentile, a Samaritan in my path. And if I do see him, Lord, I will not speak to him. There was a hatred between the Jews and other people. And yet we know clearly from the Gospels that yes, Jesus came for the Jews. Yes, Jesus came for the Israelites, but not only the Israelites. Most of us are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. It's very important that we understand that Jesus Christ did not only come for the Jews. Yes, he came for the Jew first, but he came that all would know him. And yet, the people who grew up in this Judaism, like Peter, they had blinders on. They grew up with a prejudice. They grew up with a hatred towards other people, and they struggled. And the fact that there was a man like Cornelius who was devout towards God would blow a man like Peter's mind. And yet, while God was working in Cornelius's mind, he sent an angel to speak to Cornelius in the early part of Acts chapter 10. God also sent a vision to Peter. And God told Peter, Peter, there's going to be messengers. And they're going to take you to Cornelius, and I want you to go. And in this vision, God told Peter that some of those mindsets that he had was wrong. Some of those mindsets that the only people that God loved was Jews were wrong. And what we see here in verses 1 through 33 is God was taking the worldview that Peter had and God was changing it to fit the Christian worldview. Church, tonight we're going to get a little personal. Because sometimes we have a worldview based upon how we were raised. We have a worldview based upon our culture. We have a worldview based upon our experiences that are not in line with Scripture. And we try to justify it. We try to say, well, I know the Bible says this, but this is what I'm used to. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. Peter's worldview was tweaked. Why? Because it did not fit the heart of Jesus. So tonight, we're going to see that when God called Peter, he changed Peter. And Peter's just like you and me. He can be a knucklehead. He can be stubborn. He can be independent. He can be all those things. But God wanted to change Peter's heart. And here in verse 34, we're going to see Peter speak. And the Peter that we see here is a Peter that was changed. Now, he's been saved for a while. He's a believer in Jesus. He's a disciple. But listen, as a disciple, can we still have bad mindsets? Absolutely. As disciples, can we still struggle? Absolutely. We have to constantly allow Scripture to change the way we see things. We have to constantly adjust ourselves so that we're more like Him and less like the world. So if you have Acts chapter 10, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And we're going to begin in verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." That's huge. For Peter to say that statement is huge. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, speak to us tonight, Lord. Father, I pray as we study your word, Lord, you'll change our hearts. Father, you'll change our views. Lord, help us to see Scripture, Lord, not as a story, not as a history lesson, but as a living, breathing guide on how to be more like you. Lord, we ask this in your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This evening, we're going to look at three things. The first thing, and remember, for all 5 weeks, we'll be looking at specifically the attributes of a disciple. The first thing tonight, a disciple listens to the truth of the Lord. As a Christian, the word Christian literally means Christ follower. For you and I to be a Christian according to the Bible, we are to follow Christ. That means we are not following ourselves. We are not making this up as we go. We are following what the Holy Scriptures tells us. Sometimes when you follow someone, it's not about what you want as much as about what they want. As a Christian, the more we follow the Lord, the more we trust Him, the more we study, the more we pray, the more we have fellowship with Him. The goal of Christianity is in that discipleship time, we become more like Him. Now, are we going to be like Him the first day? No, it takes time. Sometimes we have the misconception that when we're saved, which all salvation is making a decision for Christ, we have the misconception that when we're saved, that's over. We're done. We're completed. We have our get out of hell card. We're good to go. But the truth is, salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. Because it's only with salvation that our discipleship can begin. Day by day, week by week, month by month, we are to look more like Him by walking with Him. The other day, I saw something on Facebook. I had to share it. It's from Dr. Tony Evans, a preacher, and he said, "You do not have to go to church to be a Christian, just like you don't have to go home to be married. But if you stay away long enough, your marriage will suffer." If you stay away from God long enough, your discipleship will suffer. If you stay away out of prayer, if you stay away from Christian fellowship, if you stay away from studying the Word of God, you might still be a Christian. You might have still made a decision for Jesus Christ, but you will not look like Him because you do not know Him on a day-by-day relationship. Peter was only able to look more like Jesus, not because of anything that Peter did, but only because he allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to him. That statement that he made here in verse 34, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." This was not how Peter was raised. Peter was raised to show partiality. Peter was raised to believe that it was only about the Jewish people, but God broke that barrier. He broke that worldview. I have dear friends of mine who grew up in racism. They grew up in different things. They grew up with different mindsets. And over time, over different influences, those mindsets have changed. Why? Because they've grown. Sometimes we don't grow spiritually. We grow in age. We grow in years of church membership. But we don't grow in our spiritual walk. This was a landmark moment for Peter. Why? Because Peter finally realized, you know what? To be more like Jesus, I can't think that Samaritans aren't loved by God. I can't think that Gentiles aren't loved by God. I mean, for Peter to walk into Cornelius' home, and you might say, well, what's the big deal, Tyler? Peter probably never walked into the home of a Gentile. Peter, being a devout Jew his whole life, has probably never walked into a man who is not a Jewish brethren. And yet when he walked in, when he embraced Cornelius, and now he is speaking and saying, listen, I believe that God does not have partiality between us. This is God crushing walls that only he can crush. There's barriers that if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to crush, we can't reach people. If we have hatred towards our brothers and sisters, then how can we preach Jesus to them? If we view certain people as less than, how can we speak life to them? Well, Tyler, I was raised like that. At some point, we have to decide, is it how I was raised, or is it how Scripture and the Holy Spirit leads? It's a choice we have to make. A disciple listens to the truth. I've said this before, I'll say it again. There are things in the Bible that I don't like. Because it's hard. Because it goes against what I want. But once again, when we're following Jesus, it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. If we're going to reach a lost and dying world, if we're going to be a disciple, and remember the definition of a disciple, someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. If we are a disciple like that, we have to allow him to lead us. The second thing we're going to look at tonight is a disciple is a witness for the Lord. Peter boldly said here in verse 39, I am a witness for Jesus. Now, we all know what a witness is. If there's a crime, and if you were there, and if you see it, then chances are law enforcement, they're going to come to you and say, listen, you are a witness to that crime. What did you see? Peter was a witness to the life of Jesus. Peter was a witness to the miracles. He was a witness to many things, the teachings, the power. And Peter is saying, listen, I was a witness to who Jesus am. And because of that, that was bad English, by the way, but because of that, I am to reach out to people. And you might say, well, I never saw Jesus in the flesh. I'm not a witness to Jesus. Think about this for a moment, church. If there's been a time in our life, and we use the word salvation, saved, but there's been a time where we've made a decision that we believe that because of what Jesus did, that he can remove our sins. If we believe that Jesus died for us and that his blood, his sacrifice is greater than our mistakes, if we believe that, the Bible says that that covers our sins. We're a witness to his power. We're a witness to his amazing grace. We're a witness to his mercy. And you might say, well, what do I do with that? If you receive salvation, and if you believe that Jesus saves, and if you believe that Jesus matters, then isn't that worth sharing? Earlier tonight, we spoke about people who were lost. We spoke about people who, if they die, chances are they will be eternally separated. And no matter what we think about that person, if we understand heaven and hell, if we understand what that means, and if we've been saved, then the burden to reach people should be there. Is it hard? Absolutely. Because every time God wants us to share our faith, there's something stopping us. What if they reject us? What if they mock us? What if they laugh at us? Peter faced that. Last week, the boldness that Peter had only came because he prayed for it. You and I won't be bold for Jesus unless we pray for it. But we have to remember that we are witnesses. If Jesus has worked in our life, then we are witnesses to that. Just like Peter was a witness to Jesus' power in his life. Well, we've talked about in the life of Peter, about his mistakes, about his flaws, about his denial. Do you think Peter ever forgot that? No. And I promise you, when Peter preached, and when he spoke, and when he reached people, Peter could preach about God's love and forgiveness. Do you know why? Because he experienced it. He understood that God's forgiveness is greater than his mistakes. And when you and I, when we experience God's forgiveness, then we can look people in the eye and say, listen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care about your mistakes. Jesus will forgive you. Why? Because we're a witness. Because they can experience what we've experienced. Witnesses impact. Once again, if you are a witness to something, often you'll go to a court of law, and there's a trial, you'll have to speak about what you have seen. And your testimony can influence the ruling of the judge, of the jury. In the same way, what we've seen, what we've experienced, can influence a person's decision. Don't ever think that your testimony doesn't matter. Your story, your conversion, your walk with Jesus, your ups, your downs, your twists, your turns, they matter. And people need to know how God has worked in your life. Well, Tyler, my story isn't that special. Oh, it's special. If your sin's been forgiven, if you've received new life, I promise you, it's special. Be a witness to that. The final thing tonight, a disciple spreads the gospel of the Lord. So many attributes we've covered over the last 5 weeks. But if someone would walk up and say, Tyler, what should a disciple do? And if I had to break it down to one thing, I would break it down to this. A disciple is called to share the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that even though we're sinners, even though we're separated from God, that God loves us so much that he sent his son to live on this earth, to speak, to preach, to live a perfect life, and to die, not just a common death, but to die a death for you and I. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, you and I can receive new life. And you might say, well, what do you mean new life? Spiritually, we can be born again. What we have to understand, church, is that gospel is what we're called to share. In this text that we read tonight, Peter boldly proclaimed to Cornelius that when Peter became a follower, he was tasked with preaching the gospel. And you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't apply to me. Well, we've said it once, I'll say it again. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are called to preach. Maybe not in the way of a preacher, but you are called to share your testimony. You are called to speak life to people. Look with me here in verse 42. And he, this is Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. What do we preach? We preach that we can be forgiven. We preach that we're never too far gone, and we preach that there's new life in Jesus. Now, church, before we close tonight, there's a final question after 5 weeks that I want to ask. We've talked about the definition of a disciple, so here's my question. Are we being a disciple today who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus? I want to share something with you tonight. The Lord first spoke to me at the age of 9. That was the first time where I heard the gospel preached in such a way where I understood my sin. I understood what lostness and what salvation was. But I did not accept Jesus. I fought it. I struggled with it. I ran from it. And I'm so thankful for 3 years that Jesus gave me opportunity after opportunity to accept Him. And finally, I did. And for 20 years now, the Lord has allowed me to be a disciple of His. And man, I'm sure glad I don't have to tell you all my mistakes, because there would be a lot of twists and turns that I'm not proud of. But this is what I want you to understand tonight. Through every struggle, through every hardship, Jesus can use our mistakes for His glory. And you might say, well, Tyler, I can't be a disciple. Yes, you can. Peter was a disciple. And as we studied Peter, he wasn't perfect. But yet people were saved because of his ministry. And if we allow Jesus to work in our lives, you and I can lead people to Christ. Because when we speak Jesus, people can see that they need Him. I pray that you understand you're a disciple. And I pray that you understand that you have a ministry and you have influence and you have a responsibility. Don't ever forget that. Stand with me tonight.